WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
Despite knowing for decades that the hepatitis B vaccine is safe and effective, the CDC advisors recently voted to overturn decades-long policy on this vaccine for infants. My guest today is going to talk about just that. Dr. Stephen Stack is a board-certified emergency physician and Secretary of the Kentucky Cabinet for Health and Family Services. Steve, thank you very much for chatting with me today. I wanted to visit with you a little bit about the latest CDC recommendations regarding the hepatitis B vaccine in infants. There's a lot of confusion out there, a lot of misinformation and disinformation, and I wanted to see if our chat could clear things up for our listeners a bit.
Sure, Greg. Thanks for the opportunity to be here. Happy to talk about this.
Yeah, I guess first thing first, you know, I was that generation of medical students many years ago, one of the first cohort to receive the hepatitis B vaccine. And I remember one attending physician just almost crying with joy that this vaccine was now online. And over the 45 years since I received that vaccine, it's just been a game changer across the world for so many morbidities caused by this virus. Can we start there and then go on to what folks or who folks should be talking to amidst the current confusion?
All right, so hepatitis B is a really serious illness. And for newborns, when they get it during the birthing process, 90% of them go on to have chronic hepatitis. And so and a proportion of those people, you know, may take this for granted, but will go on later in life to have liver scarring or cirrhosis, as you and I know, and then they can go on to have liver failure and require transplantation. I mean, that's a big deal. The immunization, the hepatitis B immunization, is safe. It has been used for decades. It has been used in billions of people without difficulty and without significant problems. When we implemented years and years ago a birth dose as a requirement and then continued a series of, I think, six doses over the complete series, we have almost eliminated the transmission of hepatitis B from a mother to a baby in the United States. Unfortunately, in Kentucky, we have a 2.7 times higher likelihood of hepatitis B transmission in our state. And we know that as many as 15% of our pregnant mothers have inadequate child or prenatal care. So what this means is in Kentucky, if people were not to give this birth dose, we are going to have an increase in the number of babies who get infected with hepatitis B and who then later in life, many decades later, suffer irreparable harms, all because we didn't give them a simple, safe, well-proven immunization to keep that from happening. It's negligence, Greg. I mean, this is public health negligence at the very top of our nation. And there's no science to back these changes. It's not practical what they discussed and recommended be done. And so we would encourage people to listen to the Kentucky Department for Public Health, where we will continue to do our very best to give credible, scientifically based guidance. I believe we just sent out today a dear provider letter from our public health agency, communicating our recommendations that the universal birth dose for hepatitis B continue to be given, that we continue to urge people to get all their routine immunizations. And you asked, I think, a very valid question for a confused public. Where do we turn for credible guidance? And I think right now we're going to have to rely very heavily that people should talk to their licensed healthcare professional, their physician, their pediatrician, their family physician, or their other licensed healthcare professional, a pharmacist, a nurse practitioner, physician assistant in their clinics, because that at the moment is probably the best likelihood of getting scientifically based evidence at the present.
You know, never in my personal or professional life did I ever think we would be at this point right now where, in essence, I know in my research, when I'm looking at cases, one of the first places I would go to would be the CDC. And it breaks my heart to see non-scientifically based edicts or recommendations coming out with no foundation in science. I guess really now the Kentucky Department of Public Health is a beacon of evidence-based science, evidence-based medicine, and we should really be looking there. And as you mentioned, to our licensed healthcare professionals, we're talking physicians, nurse practitioners, individuals such as that.
Correct. And, you know, I'm running out of adjectives to use, but I mean, it is not a credible process anymore that's happening in our federal health agencies. It is not scientifically based. It is quite frankly, comically tragic how conspiracy theories and unfounded beliefs are now, being translated into formal governmental policy with no regard to any of the experts, the experts' input, or credible scientific processes. So, and we've had examples now with the hepatitis B immunization changes. We had the shenanigans and the craziness with Tylenol and the false assertion that it was somehow causing autism. And we now have additional in news coverage just recently concerns. Now the FDA is going to go on some kind of fake search for data that has not yet materialized to show that somehow the treatment of the immunizations for RSV and or for COVID vaccine, you know, that they would assert are causing harms. And unfortunately, I think what we've seen is when they say they're going to do these things, they've already predetermined the outcome, it appears. They know what they're going to say. They're just going to make it look like they've done a valid approach to reach a conclusion. And for those who pay attention to the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, they had those 2 days of meetings last week that led to this change in the hepatitis B immunization recommendations. It's laughable, the unstructured, incoherent discussions that are occurring, clearly from people who have no or little to no understanding of the science or the actual real world implications of the decisions that they're making. Again, it's a disaster that we are all gonna pay a price for, and people will be sicker. And again, there will be some small number who have serious damage to their bodies and their health because of these choices.
I think you and I have touched on this metaphor in past conversations, but we tend not to think about infrastructure until something goes wrong. You know, we cross that bridge or we drive on that road and everything works fine and we don't think about it. The infrastructure of public health during most of my career was so good that as a medical student, resident, and practicing physician, I never saw a case of measles. I never saw a case of pertussis, the whooping cough. So it just boggles my mind that we're here now. And I guess, as we say on this show so many times over and over again, don't get your medical information from friends or the internet. Go to that licensed healthcare professional, I guess, would be our overriding conversational objective today.
Right. And Greg, I hope we can come to a better place as a society that we return to a regard for and a respect for facts where they exist, and there are facts, and a credible, logical, scientifically based approach to things. Because what happens is the longer this chaos and insanity goes on, the more it erodes other things, and it runs the risk that even thoughtful, educated folks are very seriously confused and no longer know, you know, what to credibly believe or credibly educate on. And so that could mean you end up having situations where even some of our experts start to get disoriented about what is accurate and what is not. And I don't know, in my adult life, much like yours, I think, and in decades of being a physician, I never had a situation like this before. This is entirely unprecedented in my 30 plus years as a physician, to have a situation where we can't rely on our what used to be preeminent health agencies who were beacons across the world for credible guidance. We may have problems with affordability in healthcare in the United States, but we certainly had cutting edge science.
Well, Steve, before we part, is there anything else you would want our listeners to know about the hepatitis B vaccine in infants and in all age groups for that matter?
Yeah, so I'd say the hepatitis B vaccine is safe. It has been used in billions of people over many decades. We continue to urge people in Kentucky to continue to do the birth dose hepatitis immunization and also to complete the series for their children. It is a safe, essentially low or no risk approach to ensure that your child, who will eventually become an adolescent and an adult, has a life free of hepatitis B, which is an incurable disease that in a small number of people leads to liver scarring and liver failure, resulting in a need for a liver transplant. That's a path nobody should go down. And so we urge people to continue to do the birth dose vaccine, and people should have confidence, at least at the moment, that insurance still does pay for these things. And so continuing on the path we were doing, which was scientifically based, is still economically possible. And quite frankly, it's the most feasible and effective way for society to keep people safe and avoid disease and cost.
Well, Dr. Steven Stack, thank you very much for chatting with me today.
Well, thanks, Greg. I appreciate you covering this. It's an important topic.
My thanks today to Dr. Steven Stack, Kentucky Secretary of the Cabinet for Health and Family Services, for talking with us about the CDC advisor's recent vote to overturn decades-long policy on the hepatitis B vaccine for infants. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist and professor emeritus at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time covering important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.